Acts chapter number 2. Acts 2. And the song kind of amazingly goes along with the message this morning. So the Lord's been orchestrating all this. Acts chapter number 2 this morning. And it's kind of a odd place to start, I know, on the Sunday before Christmas. And but it's where the Lord kind of led me. We'll read our verse here in just a minute in Acts chapter number 2. But for little kids, or for children, teenagers, I'm going to say not quite yet adults, and maybe for some adults too, this is the most anticipated, look forward to day and time of the year coming up this week, ain't it? It's the most anticipated. And I think every little kid in the world, for the most part, if you was to ask them, you know, what's your favorite day of the year, they would say Christmas, probably most all of them. That's what they would say, Christmas. I know David even asked me, I think it was this morning or yesterday, in the last day or two, I think it may be in this morning, he asked me, he said, what's your favorite holiday? And I told him Christmas, that is, it's my favorite holiday. And he told me that was his favorite too. And no doubt for some of y'all, Christmas is your favorite holiday. If it's not now, it probably was when you were a little bit shorter and a little bit younger, I'm sure, your favorite holiday. And if I had to pick my second, it would probably be July the 4th, to be honest with you, because I love patriotic and all that type of things. But anyway, it's probably the most anticipated time for little children, for kids, and but also for believers, it's a special week as well. Amen. I believe for us, it's a special week, and it's a day that we love, amen, we ought to, and we look forward to remember, amen, the reason for as the season, as we say, to remember and to celebrate, if you will, and to remember the Lord's birth. Yet, kids, they look forward to this day for different reasons, and a lot of times us as adults look forward to it. Usually when you get older, if I was to ask some of y'all older folks, somebody just tell me, over the age of 40, why do you look forward to Christmas every year? All from work. Amen. That's one of the main reasons I love for... You know what one of my favorite things about Christmas is? This sounds stupid. One of the most favorite things for me about Christmas that I love every year, although I have to temper this and be careful with it, because I don't want everybody's day to be like Christmas, as the song says. I wish that every day was not like this, like Christmas when it comes to this part. But one of the things I enjoy the most is to get in my car, drive down the road on Christmas, and to drive by all these places and see them closed. You say that sounds crazy. I know it does. But when you work in retail, that's one of the things I enjoy the most. To drive by all the grocery stores and see them closed, especially by low for one day, and I'm getting paid. It's not that it's closed altogether. Like I said, I got to be careful with that. Or to drive by Walmart, amen, Cavern, and it's closed, amen. KJ's, it's closed, amen. All these places are closed down. And, of course, there's some that's open, but it's good. It just, I don't know. It just shows to me how special the day is to see that the majority is still closed. But that's one of the things I look forward to. But little kids, if you're over the age of 40, there's different things. Somebody tell me, somebody over the age of 40, what you anticipate the most or look forward to when it comes to Christmas time. There you go. Y'all said it. We'll stop right there. I thought that would be everybody over 40's number one thing. Family. Amen. Seeing family, spending time with family, eating with family, watching football, basketball, whatever with family. You know, it's kind of interesting. I never thought about it till this year. On Thanksgiving, you have football that you watch with family. And then on Christmas, basketball's on all day long. They done started that tradition now. And so you think about the fact you have, You know, that's when you're over the age of 40, and maybe 30, we could have went there, or 20 possibly, be pushing it, getting down that low. That's the thing that people anticipate the most is family. Me, I anticipate a day off from work. But anyway, I'll leave that alone. But what do you anticipate the most? If we was to go and we will say, we'll ask the youngest one in the room, David, what you like the best about Christmas? Presents. There you go. Amen. Nothing wrong with that, right? That's a typical human response. Amen. The younger we are, the more we anticipate the presents. Amen. Getting those gifts, getting those things. The older we get, they still mean something. Amen. They ought to. But it's a whole lot less, right, than what it used to be, if you will. So we think about most kids, they're looking for something under that tree. Amen. They're looking for gifts under that tree. And part of that is, then under that tree, when they take and look, they find something like this, don't they? They see something under that tree that looks a little bit like this. And when they see that under that tree, there's one thought that immediately comes to their mind, and that is, what's in the box? You're wondering right now, ain't you? I can see Cameron wondering what's in the box. Brother Brent's reaching. He wants,
I want to hold it.
What's in the box? Hold on. What's in the box? Y'all want to do what?
Shake it.
No, I just want to hold it.
Here you go.
Hold
it. Go ahead and shake it a little.
No, I pretty much know now.
Okay. All right, well, we'll see. But anyway, Brother Brent wants to shake it, right? Some of y'all want. Who wanted to shake it? I'll ask in a minute. Okay, David, you'll get your chance. So you think about, you see those boxes under the tree, you just want to shake it, right? You'll look at it, or if you don't shake it, you'll do the second thing that probably comes to mind. You look at the size of that package, right? And you say, well, that is probably not a new pair of shoes, right? It could be bedroom slippers, maybe, if you shove them down in there, I guess. But, you know, that's probably not, you know, $1 million. That wouldn't fit in. Well, it might, probably wouldn't fit in there either, right? And so you think, you know, well, I know it's not this. I know it's not that. You shake it, you know, try to get a little more of an idea, if you will. And you wonder the question, what's in the box? You pick it up, you want to shake it, but you want to know what's in the box. This morning, we want to know what's in the gift, right? We want to know what the gift is, if you will. And the word gift is used a lot of different times in the Bible. You can look it up later. I didn't write it down. I looked it up yesterday. I don't remember and didn't write down what it was. But it's used a lot of different times in the Bible. But this morning, we're going to take just for a few minutes and try to answer the question, what is in the box? What is in the box this morning? Here we see in Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 38, the Bible says, then Peter said unto them, after he had preached the sermon, preached the message to them that you can read later on if you would like, here he said unto them, he comes to the conclusion, if you will, repent and be baptized. This is a controversial verse at times, but shouldn't really be. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the what? Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we go any further. Dear Lord, we thank you for everything that you've done this morning. Thank you for allowing us to be in your house. Thank you for your many blessings, dear Lord. Thank you for this time of year. Thank you for everybody that's here. Dear Lord, please help me this morning. Give me the strength, dear Lord, the voice that I need, dear Lord. And I pray that you'd help us to have attentive hearts and minds. And I pray that you'd speak to our hearts and do only what you can do in our midst. And we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We see here in verse number 38 that after the message, the sermon was preached toward the end here, that Peter says unto them, hey, you need to repent and be baptized, he said. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This verse is oftentimes controversial because some people will say you have to repent and be baptized to be forgiven of your sins, to be saved. That is the order of the verse, but that is not what the verse is saying. Notice the first thing that the verse said here, and this is not the message, but I got to say this because we're here, repent. Amen. In other words, they had heard the gospel preached, if you read back the verses before this. They had heard, if you will, the message of salvation. And Peter's telling them, now this is what you need to do. The first thing that you need to do is what? Repent. In other words, you need to repent of your sins. Amen. You need to see your sin as God sees your sin. Amen. And you need to return to God in confession for those sins, amen, in repentance for those sins, and ask Him, amen, as we would say, the next part we could go on to look at, ask Him to forgive you, to cleanse you of those sins, amen. Repent of those sins to be saved. And that reminds us of what the Bible says over in Romans. We could look at that, the Romans road, that before we can be saved, we got to realize we're a sinner, amen. You've got to repent of those sins to be saved. And the thing, this is one of the most amazing things to me nowadays, and amazing is probably not the right word, but it's the best one I can think of right now. One of the most amazing things to me right now that people want to argue about when it comes to salvation is they want to try today to say, oh, repentance is not necessary to be saved. Hogwash. Baloney. A lot of baloney, by the way. Not just a little slice of bologna, a big slice of thick Oscar Mayer bologna. You got to repent to be saved. Amen? There is no other way about it. Even here we see Peter taught that. He said, repent and be baptized. Amen? You've got to repent of your sins, folks. When we say you got to repent, you got to realize you're a sinner, we're saying what? You've got to repent. Amen? If you take that out, then I ask you the question, if you take out repentance, then what in the world do I need to be saved from? Why? And so for somebody to take out the doctrine of repentance in salvation, they've taken away my reason to be saved. They've taken away what do I need to be saved from, if you will. They've taken away a crucial first part, if you will, step of the gospel. And so some people say that they don't understand repentance. Well, repentance is simple. Amen. The Bible explains it thoroughly. We just realize that our sin is what God says it is. Amen. I'm not saying that we've got to take and when we go to God in prayer, when we get saved, and you'd have to be foolish, I believe, to believe this, to have to name off all my sin to God. Amen. The day I got saved, I didn't go to God and say, forgive me when I was 2 years old for telling, you know, this lie to mama, or forgive me for, you know, lying here or saying this there or doing this there. We didn't do that when we got saved. We prayed to God and said, Lord, I am a what? Sinner, that's repenting. Amen. I'm a sinner, Lord. Please forgive me of my sin. Amen. That's acknowledging that you're a sinner and you're repenting of that, asking God to forgive you of it. Amen. That's the simple Bible doctrine of repentance that even a child can do. Amen. That the Bible talks about. And you just repent that to God and you admit that to God. You acknowledge it to Him. And here Peter said, repent, if you will. And after we repent, guess what? Then we go be baptized. Amen? Baptism is not a part of salvation. It's not necessary for salvation, but it is the first step in obedience that we ought to do after we are saved. Amen? After we repent, after we are saved, then what we should do? We should be baptized. Amen? The baptism does not wash away the sins. The baptism is the step in obedience. Amen? That shows what the Lord has done in our lives. Confessing, showing to everybody, hey, that I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. I've been saved. Giving testimony on the outside of what's happened on the inside. Amen. You think about here, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive what? The gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. You say, what's inside this box this morning? Brother Brent slightly shook it a while ago. But you think about this box, what's inside of it? May I say, inside of this box today is the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. You see, that box that we celebrate this time of year that we talk about, inside of this box is the gift of the Holy Ghost. Inside the gift that the Bible talks about is the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. Do you realize that today, at the moment that you take and accept the gift, guess what you get? The Holy Spirit of God. At the moment you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit of God. That's what He's promising here in this verse. We could read back in Acts chapter 1 and 2 before this, and we see the day of Pentecost. That's what took place. The Lord had promised that if He went away, there would come another, the Comforter, right? And the day of Pentecost, that Comforter, that Holy Ghost, that Holy Spirit of God came down upon them that was gathered together. There was like clothes, tongues of fire above their head, the Bible says, rushing mighty wind. You can read the things that took place there. And from that point forward, everybody that came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that repented, amen, of their sins, they were given the Holy Spirit of God indwelling them. Amen. And so today, everybody that gets saved, they have the Holy Ghost inside of them. Amen. What's inside the gift that the Bible talks about? May I say, inside of that gift is the Holy Ghost. Amen. Is the Holy Spirit of God. But there's a second thing that's inside of that gift. Turn with me to Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5. Romans 5. There's a second thing inside this gift. What's in the box? In this box is the gift of the Holy Ghost, but also Romans 5 and verse number 15. Romans 5 and verse number 15. So, Christy, here you go. She was kind of wanting to hold a wall. Go ahead and shake it. You want to know what's in there, don't you? Yeah. What's in the box, right? Well, let's see something else that's in the box. We see the gift of the Holy Ghost is in the box, but let's see the second thing that's in the box. Romans 5 and verse number 15. The Bible says, but not as the offense, so also is, what's the next words?
Free.
The free gift. You say, what else is in the box? Well, I'll tell you this, whatever's in the box, guess what it is?
Free.
It's free. Amen? It's free. Amen? You know what? Can you imagine, Brother Gary, if you took this Christmas, now I don't know what you got masked eye in. I hope you got something in mind. If you hadn't got it yet already, you might want to. But anyway, maybe jewelry, you know, I don't know. I'm just throwing hints. But anyway, a trip to the beach. There's a good idea, but anyway, I'll leave that alone. But, you know, get her something, right? And if she was to take and go in there Christmas morning and used to say, honey, here, I got something I want to give you. And she was to start to take, hold on a minute, whoa, 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 whoa. I need $5 first. She'd say, what in the world? Gary, what kind of joke are you playing? You wouldn't take and say, I need $5 first, would you? If you did, you'd be really playing a joke. That's not what a gift's about, is it? Right? Here, I want to give you something. That's why we call it a gift. Right? In other words, what's inside this box is a free gift. Amen. It contains the Holy Ghost. Amen. But it's also the gift in the Bible. Not only does it have the Holy Ghost, but the gift also is a free gift. Amen. As the first part of that verse said. But let's read on a little further. We'll see a third thing that's in the box. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the gift... much more the grace of God and the gift, what's the next two words? By grace. Karen? I know you was wanting to hold the gift a while ago. Go ahead, Karen. Take your turn. She shook it too. She wants to know
what's in the box.
What's in the box? Well, something else that's in the box, a third thing. Guess what? Grace. Grace is in the box. Amen. You see, there's the Holy Ghost is in the box. Amen. What's free? It's free. What's in the box? But the third thing that's in the box is grace. Amen. This box, what's in it, is offered by grace. Amen. And the only way to receive what is free that's inside of this box that contains the Holy Spirit is if it's all received by grace. Amen. The only way you can receive this gift is by grace. You say, well, Brother Brent already taught it this morning in Sunday school. I don't have to reteach it. Amen. What grace is? Unmerited favor, right? God's riches at Christ's expense. That's the perfect example of a gift. Amen. If Brother Gary gave Miss Diane that gift, he wouldn't say, give me $5 if you want it. Then it wouldn't be a gift. It would be a purchase, right? It would be buying something. Brother Gary goes to the store. He buys a gift, right? He takes that gift and he pays for it at Walmart. Amen, Cameron? Checks out at Cameron's line. Cameron says, I need the money. If not, that guy's going to run you down on the way out the door, right? Just don't get into that. We won't go back there again, right, Cameron? But anyway, you got the picture. He has to swipe his card. He has to get out the green. Amen? Get out the load of change, right? Whatever. He has to take and pay for that gift. But she don't have to. You see, grace is something that's undeserved. Amen? But it's something that's given. May I say, a true gift is something that you don't have to work for. A true gift is something that you don't have to earn. A true gift is something that's free that you only got to accept. Because somebody else has already paid the price. That's what God's grace is. You think about this morning, what's in the box? May I say, there's grace in the box. But notice with me verse number 16. It says, and not as it was by one that sinned, so the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto what? Justification. So there you see again, the gift's free, but we done been there. We're not going to go back there again. But we see something else. What's in the box? Well, there's something else in this box that verse tells us. Neil, you wanted to shake it. You got that kid at heart still going on. Go ahead. Give it a good shake. You know what else is in the box? Justification. Justification. Amen. In other words, you say, what does that mean? That sounds like a big word. Not really. It just means that what's inside of this box can make you just as if you've never sinned. What's inside the box? It can take and make you just like you've never done anything wrong ever against God in your whole entire life. It can take and wipe out the fact that you was born a sinner. Amen? Boy, that's a powerful gift that's inside this box. Amen? That's a powerful thing to think that what's inside of here has got the Holy Ghost. What's inside of here is free. What's inside of here is offered by grace. You don't deserve it. Somebody else has paid the price for it. Here you go, and when you take it, it's going to wipe away everything wrong that you've ever done and the fact that you was born and conceived in sin, as the Bible says. It's a pretty powerful thing that's in this box, ain't it? What's in the box? But there's something else. Notice with me here, if you will, verse number 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace, we've done talked about that one, and of the gift of, what's that next word? Righteousness. Guess what? There's something else in the box. Brother Donald, you've been wanting to shake it too. What do you think?
I like it.
I want to tell you something else that's in this box. Righteousness. Amen? What's inside the box? Righteousness. I tell you what. Righteousness is a big word again, ain't it? But it amazed me when I was in school. And I don't say this to sound big at all. Y'all know that by now, hopefully. Because I done forgot the little bit that I did ever learn for the 1 year that I took it. But I took Greek class in school, and it's like any other language. I couldn't speak it, but you know, it's more of a written language, as they say, outdated type of language. But we know the New Testament and the Bible was written in Greek. And I took 1 year of it, and we had to take a whole book of the Bible our second semester. Matter of fact, some of the guys right now in Ambassador are enduring to the end this pleasure, I'm sure. But to get ready for your second semester, you would have to, the second semester of the first year of Greek, we had to take, I think it was 1 Timothy maybe, or somewhere in those books in the New Testament, and we had to translate, Brother Gary, the whole book of the Bible from English to Greek. And if that wasn't a hard enough project, Then we had to take and tell what tense each word things was in. Then we had to take and tell what, like, adjective, noun, whatever. We had to take and pick what that was in. And you had a whole semester to do all that. And they gave you the information that you needed before you went to Christmas break. You say, why? Because as the teacher told us, you better start over Christmas break. If not, you won't get done. And that was a chore, and I got it at home somewhere. But I come across this word righteous or righteousness, and when I looked up to see what the Greek word was to write it down in my translation from English to the Greek language, it amazed me. Because beside that word, we had to write what it translated out to mean. And you know what that word righteous means? To do what's right. You look it up in the Strong's Concordance, and that's exactly what that word says. It's dikiosso or something like that is how it's pronounced. And you know what? It just means to do what's right. So anytime you see the word righteous in the Bible, that's all it means is simply do what's right. Amen. As Brother Bob Jones said, do right till what? The stars fall. And then when you're done with that, still do what's right. Amen. Do what's right. And so what's inside this box? Righteousness. I don't know about you, but every day I try to do the right thing. I honestly do. I hope every one of us in this room can say that. I hope you don't wake up in the morning and you don't say, you know what? I want to do the wrong thing today. Hopefully nobody in the room wakes up that way. Hopefully Brother Brent don't wake up and say, you know what? I know I ought to do this today, but you know what? I don't want to do it. You know what I want to do instead? I want to do the wrong thing, so that's what I'm going to do. We don't usually, I hope, think that way. What we do instead is say, this is the right thing to do, and this is what I want to do, amen, key thing. This is what I desire to do, but you know what? Sometimes our flesh has a desire too. And it might want to do something else, and sometimes we still do the wrong thing. But it wasn't because deep down inside, what? We didn't want to do that. Our flesh wanted to. There was a battle there, and sometimes we give in and do things that we shouldn't do. Because our flesh, those things, desire, wants to. But deep down in our heart, we as believers, we don't want to do that. Amen? We don't want to do the wrong thing. May I say, guess what's inside this box? Righteousness. Righteousness. Because you know what? The Bible tells us there's none righteous. No, not one. The Bible tells us all of us are sinners. The Bible tells us there's none of us that are good. The only way that we can receive righteousness is, guess what? From what's in the box. This morning, that's how you can receive righteousness. But notice with me verse number 18. The Bible says, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, here's the words, free gift, came upon all men unto justification of life. And that kind of wraps up everything we talked about here in this point concerning things that's in the box. So we've seen this morning what's in the box? The gift of the Holy Ghost. What's in the box is free. What's in the box is offered by grace, and it can only be received by grace. What's in the box is justification. What's in the box is righteousness. But we're not done. There's still some more left in this box. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. 2 Corinthians